All right.
Because there's a case in the news that we were talking about before you came, of agents enemy. The guy who got killed last night.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, I'm not holding. I'm not.
I'm not
holding. Wow, really?
It wasn't a base stint.
No, I understand. I understand, but it's still. It's very interesting. Okay. All right. Last thing we did, we're starting the new mission now. Last thing we talked about was Hafsaka, Hefsek, right? We talked about making new brachas on Shechita, and Tosfos took the conversation to a very interesting place. You're in the middle of the meal, and you need to daven. Is that going to be considered a Hefsek? So he quoted the opinion of Rabbi Yom Tov. It says that it is going to be considered a Hefsek because you can't daven and eat at the same time. It's just not physically possible. And Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos gives a slightly different understanding of our Gemara. Tosfos, and that's the halacha, that if you have to daven in the middle of a meal, that's not considered a hefsek. You don't have to make a new bracha. We start the new Mishnah. We're on Pei Zayin Amud Aleph. For the record, today's daf is daf Pei Ches. We have a good chance of catching up today. We have two short daf, and Pei Zayin and Pei Ches are both short and pretty straightforward. Shachav lo kisa varu acher chayv l'chasos. So the primary responsibility of the mitzvah of kisu is on the shochet. The one who shechs the animal, getting chayer or oaf, so he has an obligation to cover the blood. So that's his primary responsibility. What if he doesn't? So now there's blood to be covered. So somebody else can come along and cover the blood, says the Mishnah. Kisavin is gala. What if he covers the blood and the blood becomes uncovered? Potter melechasos. So he's exempt, meaning the mitzvah of kisui just requires an act of kisui. Doesn't have to be a state of being, just a simple act of covering. The blood was covered, even though along comes a strong gust of wind and blows the dirt that he covered the blood with, it's okay. The Mishnah says the mitzvah has been fulfilled and you're done. Kisaha ruachai v'chasos. Now the Mishnah says one last point, which is, what if the wind covers the blood? Meaning if you're shechting on a very windy day, you shech, the blood falls on the ground, the wind picks up some dirt and covers the blood. So the Mishnah says you're still obligated to cover the blood. Small problem, technical problem, the blood's already covered. Right. So what are you doing?
It's a human act of doing it.
Correct. I understand the problem. Understand the issue. But right now, I'm just raising a technical issue, which the Gemara is going to raise. I know the Gemara is going
to
raise this issue. I took a sneak preview of the Gemara coming up ahead. No, it's okay. It's fine. And it's a technical problem, which is the blood is already covered. So what?
But you're not going to uncover and recover.
Right. Okay. Good. Right, so we'll talk later this morning about how much of the blood needs to be covered. It's a machlokas tanayim. Okay, we'll talk about what the halacha is. But let's just say right now, let's say like the chachamim, a little bit of the blood needs to be covered, not all the blood. Tanu Rabbanan.
So it must be the same case.
Okay, we'll see. The Gemara is going
to
talk about it.
The bottom line is that the human force has to be involved.
Correct. Vishafach vikisa. So the first thing we're going to learn is whose primary responsibility is it? Mi sheshafach yichaseh. Oh, the one who shechs. Right? Again, we've talked about this a number of times already. It's interesting that the term used in the Torah that describes shechita of chayin of in this context, in the context of kisui adam, is shvicha, spilling. Okay, but of course we know that means shechita, but still it's interesting that that's the term that's used. So the primary responsibility is on the shofech, or on the shochet. There is an asara meaning that even though the primary responsibility is on the shecht, on the shochet, if he doesn't do it, there now becomes a responsibility of klal yisrael. So that means somebody else who sees it, but you know, lets it. Somebody else sees it, the blood that was uncovered, so he has an obligation to cover. Tanya Idach, we learned in another brisa. V'shafach v'chisa, b'mesha shafach bo yichaseh. Shalo yichasena beregel, shalo yeh mitzvos b'zuyos alav. Also, you shech with your hand, you cover blood with your hand. Don't just simply kick some dirt on the blood, right? Human nature would be that you really, what do you want to pick up dirt with your hand for, and what do you want to throw it on the blood? So, the brisa understands that. The brisa says, still, you should pick up the dirt with your hand, and you should cover it with your hand. The same way you shecht it with your hand, meaning holding the knife in your hand, so too the kisu as well. Tanya Idach, we learned in another braisa. V'shach v'chisa, mi sheshafach hu yichasenu. Maisa be'echa sheshacha v'kirim chavero v'kisa. Okay? Story goes like this. Somebody shechted an animal, ready to do the mitzvah of kisu hadam. Somebody else comes in and just grabs the mitzvah right away from him. V'chayvo Rebbe Gamliel litein lo yud zehuvim. So the Gemara now teaches us, instructs us, that there's a penalty. You steal somebody's mitzvah, you owe that person money. Now you cannot put a price on a mitzvah. That is simply impossible. There is no way that we can actually know the true value of a mitzvah. Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, number of Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos, talk about our inability to really express how much a value of a mitzvah is. The Mishnah and Pirkei Avos says, even a mitzvah kala, what you think is a light mitzvah, there's no way. There's simply no way that we can put a value on a mitzvah. So the simple explanation of the Gemara is that Yud Zehuvim is a kenas. It's a penalty. Meaning, it's an issue of midos. You, right, that person was ready to do a mitzvah. He stole his opportunity to do a mitzvah. So along come the Chachamim and impose a kenas upon you. Right, a fine, a penalty for having taken his mitzvah. That's a simple pshat. Okay, you could,
he still has a mitzvah?
Huh? No, he lost it. That's it.
Yeah,
he still gets it. Yes.
That's
what correct. He may right. Correct. I mean, right. That's why. In other words, when I say the way I present it to Kanas, you know, it could be mamonos. It could be, you know, not a penalty, but just simply, you know, we're not putting a value on it.
Right.
But still, in other words, if we're talking about bartering or. And I say that because you're going to see Gemara in just a moment where he actually, one of the Tanaim actually wants to pay somebody for their mitzvah. Well, you'll see what I mean in just a moment. So, Litein lo yud zuhuvim. So, now, Ibailahu, the Gemara now wants to know, when you're paying that 10 zuhuvim, so what are you buying with that? Or not buying, but what is the penalty for? Schar mitzvah or schar bracha? Is it for the schar mitzvah or the schar bracha? Now, let's be clear, right? The bracha that you make on a mitzvah is important, right? But it's not the mitzvah. Right. The mitzvah is the mitzvah. The bracha that you make on it is something which is connected, attached to it. So what the Gemara here is not saying is that you're paying for the bracha as opposed to the mitzvah. But in other words, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is, look, when we are penalizing someone for stealing somebody's mitzvah, are we focused just on the mitzvah alone? Or do we take into consideration that there's a bracha as well? Okay. What I'm saying is subtle, I understand. But the Gemara says, consider the following. Lamai nafkamina. Birchas hamazon. Right, benching. Benching is a great example. Because benching is a mitzvah and it's a bracha. It's both. It's a mitzvah and a bracha. The mitzvah is the bracha. And more than that, benching is not just one bracha. Benching is three brachas. We'll take it even one step further. Benching is four brachas. Now, you'll remember the Gemara in Brachos in the seventh parak, the Gemara over there, every time it refers to benching, it calls it Gimel Brachos. Right? That's the term that the Gemara actually uses to describe benching. Gimel Brachos, because min haTorah there are three brachas. The Chachamim attached a fourth bracha to benching. We're all familiar, right? We all bench. So the Chachamim attached a fourth bracha to benching. So that's the HaTova HaMeitiv that was instituted because of Haruge Besar, correct? So the so benching's got four brachas. So now let's ask the question: when the Chachamim penalize, they penalize because of the mitzvah, or because of the bracha, and the nafkamin would be benching because benching is a mitzvah composed of four separate brachas. Now that's 4 times 10, so that's 40 zehuvim. So iamar tzchar mitzvah achasi. Now if it's just for the core mitzvah, that's the penalty, so then you only have to pay 10. But iyamar tzchar bracha, but if it's not just for the mitzvah, but it's for also the bracha component of the mitzvah, which in benching means that there are four components to the mitzvah. Just wait 1 second. It's a great story. I'm telling you, today is one of the, I mean, there are a lot of great stories, but today's such a great story. So bircha havian arba'in, so that would be 40. Ma'ay tashma, the Gemara says, well, how about this? Consider the following story. Da'amalei ha'utzdukila Rebbe. Okay, conversation between Stuki and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Misha Yatzaharim lo bararuach, Misha baruach lo Yatzaharim. So, trying to do away with this whole monotheism, one God. The Tzaduki says, where do you get this from? It's not true, says the Tzaduki. Because the one who created the wind is not the one who created the mountain. Dichsiv, and the Tzaduki knows his treyasar. Right, this is where I would lose in the conversation to the Tzaduki, because I'm not as familiar. Ki hine yotzer harim uvare ruach. right? There's a Yotzer Harim and there's a Borei Ruach. Two powers. Says the Tzeduki. Amar Lei Shota. So right. So the immediate response of Rebbe is, "You are a fool." Shvil Lesefa Dekra. Why don't you keep reading the pasuk? Hashem Tzvakos Shemo. Hashem Tzvakos is his name. Okay, it's one. It's one entity. So Amar Lei Nekoli Zimna Talsi Yom Mahajon Lach Tiyufta. So now, yeah. So Tzeduki wasn't ready for that. I don't know why the Tzeduki wasn't ready for that. But, okay, the Tzeduki wasn't ready for that answer. Tzeduki wanted to respond to Rebbe. Tzeduki wanted 3 days to respond to Rebbe. Right, you have phone a friend. He needed to, yes.
They say so, so they say, for Hashem, but that's the Haskalah. You don't need Hashem.
Right.
Okay,
just keep reading. So what the Tzeduki wanted was, I want 3 days. 3 days, and I'll give you an answer. Yosef, Rebbe Tlas Tanisa. The Rebbe was worried. So Rebbe sat for those 3 days in a fast. Ki hava kabai mivrach, amar le Tzeduki kai abava. So now, he was ready. Our gears of the Gemara is mivrach. Another girsa is mivra. In other words, he wanted, either way, the point is the same. He wanted to eat. Well, it's understandable. 3 days, 3 days of not eating.
That
so
means he didn't eat at the nights either?
Seemingly. Right? Like it's like Esther. So the by mivrach, I'm relates to Kaya Bava. Now, as he's about to partake of his meal to break his fast, so knock at the door, and someone says, oh, here's a Tzeduki. Now, the way Rashi describes the scenario, Rebbe thinks it's the Tzeduki, meaning the one that was arguing with him, understandably, because, you know, the introduction was, here is the Tzeduki. So, Amar v'inu b'versi rosh. So, the Amar v'inu b'versi rosh, and what Rebbe discovers is that it's not the Tzeduki, that argued with him, but rather, it was another Tzeduki. And the way Rashi describes the scenario, this other Tzeduki tells Rebbe, you know, the first Tzeduki, he had nothing to respond to you. And he was so distraught that he goes to the roof and he jumps off the roof and he kills himself. So the Gemara says, Amli Rebbe Mevasa Tovas Anilach Lo Matzah Tshuva Yivech V'nafa Menagag Omeis. He jumps from the roof and he dies. Amar Lo Rizoncha Shitis Od Etzli. Now Rebbe was, of course, very happy to hear this. Sad of the death, but happy that his enemy has fallen. So he says to the Tzeduki, the new one, you want to join me for a meal? Meaning I'm ready to break fast, 3-day fast. You want to join me for the meal? I'm a lohein. So the Tzeduki said, yeah, sure, I'll join you. So la'achrisha achlo v'shasu amalei kosha bracha atashosa o arba'im zuhuvim atanotel. So now, let's remember what we learned back in the 7th parak of Brachos. Really, when it comes to benching, you should give it to the guest. Benching should be given; should not be said by the host. Benching should be said by the guest. The reason being, it gives the guest an opportunity to bless the host. Right? A lot of benchers don't have this. And it's strange, but there's a Yehi Ratzon. There's a right. I know it's really the correct thing to do. There's a Yehi Ratzon at the end of benching where the Mavarich, the one who's benching, has an opportunity to bless. That Yehi Ratzon actually comes from the Gemara. And for reasons that I don't have a good explanation for, a lot of the benchers... Yeah, I know, because you people are more, in tune with the Gemara than we are. So the but anyway, so it gives the guest an opportunity to bench, to bless his host. So, but here's the problem. He's a Tzeduki, meaning, granted, he gave great news to Rebbe. Granted, Rebbe invited him for a meal. But he's a Tzeduki. Rebbe didn't want to give him the bracha. So what did Rebbe do? He offered to pay him, which, Phil, this is what I mentioned earlier, makes it sound like not so much a penalty, but more like a, you know, we will attach some sort of monetary value, even though we... Yeah. So, Arbim Zuhuvim Atanota. Amar lo kosho bracha nishosa. So... The atashosa arbim zumatanota amalo kosho bracha anishosa. So he says, I'll drink the kosho bracha, meaning that okay, fine, I won't, uh, I, I won't, I won't bench, but I would like a little bit of a sip if you don't mind. Yatzav baskal v'amar kosher bracha yishver arba'im zehuvim. The kosher bracha is worth 40 zehuvim. Now the question that we asked that started this whole discussion was, how do you gauge? Do you gauge by the mitzvah? Or do you gauge by the bracha? It's clear from this story, as strange as the story as it is, it's clear from the story that we gauge by the bracha. Benching is four brachos, so therefore it's arba im zehuvim. Tosos raises that issue. Okay, I came prepared today. Right, Stewart wanted to know there's another bracha because with every benching you have to make a bracha on the wine. Right. So that now, so Stewart's asking, tack on a fifth bracha.
Yeah, but that's not
a mitzvah. It's
only mitzvah.
It is.
Because you're drinking.
That kos is really part of the benching. It's really part. It's real. I mean, the kos yayin.
Because of drinking.
No. It's no. He's. I mean, Tosos raises the issue. It's a consideration. That bracha on wine really is wine over benching. It's really part of benching. Tosos gives an answer. Tosos gives a funny answer. There's a shita in the 10th parak of Pesachim that you don't make an extra bracha on that cup of wine. So Tosfos suggests that maybe our Gemara is following that shita, even though it's not a shita hamakubal. It's not the accepted position. Of course, we make a bracha on that cup of wine. All right. But is it, yeah.
You can not make a bracha on it because if you have
kavan,
no, because then you
can't. All right. So you're right. Tosos and Pesachim over there raises exactly your issue. Right. You can't. Right. You can't have in mind to have that cup of You can't have in mind that wine is going to be covered already. Benching signifies the end of a meal. Yeah. Right. You're done. So you have to make a new bracha on wine. Anyway. Let's go back to the Gemara. Amar Yitzchak Adayin Shana La'osa Mishpacha Ben Gedolei Romi V'Koronoso Mishpachas Bar Livianus. This Tzeduki, because of this episode, had a special zichus. It carried over generationally. He was a dignitary in the Roman Senate, and it was called the family of Bar Livianus. Let's continue. Kisavin is Gala Amarle Ravacha Breda Ravala Rav. Ashi Maishna Meshava Saveda. Now, by Ashava Saveda, you keep doing it. Dama Mara Hashav Afilu Mea Pa'amim. Meaning, you know somebody who is a little bit absent minded, or how about very absent minded. He keeps losing the item. There's a mitzvah of Ashava Saveda again and again and again. Afilu Mea Pa'amim, even 100 times. Over here, once you do kisui, that's it. So I'm like, hasam lo ksiv miyuta, hachik ksiv miyuta, v'kisahu. Here it's v'chisahu, right? I guess the who is the miyut, meaning covering is only a one act deal, right? One and done. You do the kisui, the kisahu, and that's it, and you're fine. Kisahu ruach amir, rabba baruchan amir, rav yochan lo, shanu ola shechazam nizgala, avalo chazam nizgala, patam lechazos. So the Gemara now is going to raise the technical issue, which I raised back in the Mishnah. The wind covered the blood. The Mishnah says you're obligated to cover. So the Gemara says, correct, but that's only if the blood becomes uncovered. So the Gemara says, what about the concept of dichui? Meaning once the wind covers the blood, hasn't the mitzvah been pushed off? And even though the wind uncovers the blood, hasn't the mitzvah been rejected? And the Gemara gives us a basic rule, which we'll come to later again today, which is Amar Papa. So Samaritan saying dichui some mitzvahs. Okay, good. By mitzvahs, there's no such thing as dichui. By karbanos, there is a concept of dichui. By mitzvahs, there isn't. So
can you remind us what was dichui in a
karban? Dichui in a karban means a karban for whatever reason got rejected. Okay, and then it gets unrejected. Right? It then becomes acceptable again. Whatever technical reason it is.
Like a moon.
It has a cataract.
Yeah, something along those lines. Yeah. Well, while the animal's alive, we're not apt to say dichui. But what? Right? Ain't dichui babale chayim. Generally speaking, is what the Gemara says. But once the animal's dead, and for whatever reason it becomes disqualified, then becomes requalified, so generally speaking, we say that's it. It's done. It's dichui. It's rejected. By mitzvah, no such thing. By mitzvos, there's no dichoy. So umashlam had the tanya shochem nivladam bekarka chayv lachasos. So the Gemara says we have a brisa. Now the brisa says that let's say the blood gets absorbed in the ground. Right, it's a nice soft ground, and the blood just kind of goes right into the ground. You still have an obligation to cover. But didn't we just learn in our Mishnah? Well, the Mishnah doesn't say it, but Rav Yochanan says it very clearly that if the blood is in a state of being covered, so you have no mitzvah. So how is it different than the Braisa? The Gemara says it's different. How some kisherishumo nikar. Now, even though the blood got absorbed in the ground, but you could still see the blood, see some sort of rishima, some sort of right outline redness. It's there. The blood's still there. You can still see the blood. Masha Enke and Armish is talking about a case where Mamish, the wind blew the dirt, and the dirt absolutely covered the blood. A little Tarovis talk. We've been here. We've done this before. We've done this back in Zvachim. Actually, it's going to be basically the same discussion we had in Zvachim. Meaning, in Zvachim, what do we learn? We learn that you have blood, you have a mitzvah of Zrikas Adam. You got to sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach. What if that blood gets mixed up with water, for example? Okay, what's the halacha? The halacha is as long as you can still see the blood, as long as that mixture has still a red hue to it, so you have an obligation of Zrikas Adam. So here we're not talking about Behema, here we're talking about Chai, we're talking about the mitzvah of Kisu Adam, but the principles are still all the same. As long as there is a red hue to the mixture, so you have an obligation of Kisu Adam. The Mishnah says, "Dam shenasarif b'mai, my blood mixed with water." Imesh bo maris dam chay v'chasos. So as long as it has maris dam, as long as it has a hue, a color of red, so then you have an obligation to cover. And it's arif b'yayin. What if the blood gets mixed up with red wine? Because you know, that's going to be confusing because it's red wine. So you don't know.
Is it wine?
Is it blood? Would I have seen the blood? So rono so ki'ilu humayim. So here what you're going to have to do is a substitution. You're going to basically have to figure now, a little bit of, you know, scientific research, what you're going to have to do is, what if I would have substituted the wine for water? Would I see the blood? Okay, and, you know, just figure out what, assuming you know what your ratio was, so figure out. Okay, nis'arev v'dam ha-behema, what if it gets mixed up with other blood? Notably, the blood of a behema. Now, blood by behema, there's no mitzvah of kisui. So, Rowan Oso Ki'ilu Hein Mayan. Again, you're going to go for your substitution. You're going to look at it as if it's water and see. If had that been water, if there would have been a red complexion to it, so then I have an obligation to cover. Now, you know what's coming next, which is Rav Yehuda. So Rashi says that when it says this example over here in the Mishnah is dam hekez shochaya.
Yeah,
it's not the blood that you need to cover. Right. Right. Some. Yes, Danny.
You would think that the suffix there right there you go with kumra. So why don't these?
Because if you really cannot see the complexion of it anymore, it's not dam. It's just simply not dam. You know what's coming next, and that's the Shita of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, Ein dam mevatel dam. Blood does not negate blood. This is, Rashi points out, Rav Yehuda l'shita. So Rav Yehuda says throughout Shas, that min bemino eino batel. There is never bittel with like substances. So I have a mixture. One drop of, I'll just, you know, make this as caricature as possible. One drop of chaya blood mixed in with gallons of behema blood. So Rav Yehuda says the chaya blood is there, even though the numbers indicate that there's bittel, even though had that been water, it would have been totally negated. Doesn't matter. It's blood and blood. Ein dam mevatel dam. Blood does not negate blood because min bemino is eino batel. That's the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Dam hanitas v'shal asakin chayav l'chasos. If I have blood that's spritzed or blood that's on the knife, so you're obligated to cover that blood. Am Rav Yehuda emesayim b'zman chein sham dam elahu. Rav Yehuda says that's only if you have this blood. Yesham dam shalohu pater malachasos. But you have had other bloods of this animal that when covered, so you don't have to worry about the blood that was spritzed, nor do you have to worry about the blood that is on the knife. Tanan hasam. All we're going to do now is basically compare this Mishnah in Chulin to the Mishnah in Zvachim. And you're going to see it's pretty much the same. They're two different topics. The Mishnah in Zvachim is talking about the mitzvah of Kisu Adam. I'm sorry. Of Zrikas Adam. We're talking about the mitzvah of kisui hadam. But the point is still the same. Tanan hasam dansh nisar b'mayim im yesh bo marzam kasher nisar b'yayin. What if it gets mixed up with wine? Ro'no sekilu humayim. You look at it as if it's mixed with water. Nisar b'dam behema b'dam achay. Ro'no sekilu humayim. What if it gets mixed up with other bloods? Again, you have to make a substitution. Rav Yehuda Omer ein dam mevatal dam. Okay. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan. Lo shanu ela shenaflu mayim l'soch dam. Aval nafal dam l'soch mayim rishon batal. Now, here's a concept that we've seen before, and the Gemara speaks it out again over here, and we're going to see over here, it's going to be a little bit of a nuanced discussion. The concept goes like this. The concept, we call it kama batal, meaning, remember back in your labs when you were back in college? So you remember titration? So you put a drop in and you put another drop in. Eventually, it'll discolor. Eventually. Right. But in halacha, with every drop that goes in, each drop becomes negated. Each drop is subject to bittul. So therefore, the Gemara quotes in the name of Yochanan, if water falls into blood, so then we could have this discussion of, well, you know, it was blood, the water falls in, but as long as it has the appearance of blood, it's blood. But let's go the other direction. Let's say that it's the little drops of blood that fall into water. Every little drop that falls in is going to be batal. Now you'll say, as what happens with all titration, now you'll say that eventually enough blood comes in, it will become red. That's true from a physical standpoint, but from a halachic standpoint, kama batal. Every drop becomes disqualified, and every drop becomes negated. Okay? So that is Rav Yochanan on the Mishnah in Zvachim. Amar Rav Papa. So Rav Papa says, okay, that's true, meaning that's a concept, and that concept works by the Mishnah in Zvachim. It doesn't work by our Mishnah. It does not work by our Mishnah. Amar Rav Papa lin kisu ein okein. Ein dichui eitzel mitzvos. And why is it different? The Rav Papa explains like this. By the way, turn back the page. It's the same Rav Papa from the Amud Aleph. Right? Rav Papa on the end of Amud Aleph says, Amar Rav Papa zosameres, ein dichui eitzel mitzvos. It's the same Rav Papa over here, basically illustrating the same point. You see, in kisui hadam, well, let me start by zvachim. In zvachim, that's kachim. Right? And as we explained, kachim is subject to bittul. And once it's batal, that's it. There's no resurrection. There's no tchias ha-mesim. Because batal means rejected. And once rejected, no longer eligible anymore. So it's a mitzvah. Correct. All of kachim is a mitzvah.
Right.
But it's a mitzvah in the world of kachim. Okay? So, and in the world of kachim, you have a concept of dichui. It's just rejected, even though the reason for its rejection no longer applies. So every drop of blood that goes into this bucket of water, so every drop becomes batal. Now, yes, that bucket of water eventually is going to turn red. Titration. It's going to turn red. Doesn't matter. In the world of kachim, it was rejected. Once rejected, always rejected. But now we go to our issue, which is the issue of the mitzvah. And the mitzvah of kisui adam. Kisui adam is not kachim. Kisui adam is just a mitzvah. I mean, I don't mean that flippantly. But it is a mitzvah. It's not kachim. So now, yes, it's true. The first drop of blood that comes in, now there's no longer a mitzvah of kisui. Because it's just one drop in a big bucket of water. But now I keep dropping the blood in. And eventually the water discolors. And eventually the water now is going to have a red complexion. So it comes back again. Ein dichui eitzel mitzvos. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Kol Mara Ad Mamis. Correct. Am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Kol Marad Mamis Mechaper Mamachshirin VeChayav Mekisoi. Now, Shmuel says, Rav Yehuda quotes in the name of Shmuel, that any red complexion, meaning you have water, which a little bit of blood comes in, and it's now red in color, so it's Mechaper, it's Machshir, and you're obligated Kisoi Hadam. Good. My Kamashmal in the Gemara says, I don't understand. Meaning, we've been here. We've learned all this already. I don't need Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel to make any of these statements when all these statements seem to be been taught to us in a Mishnah. So, Mechaprin, Tanina, Chayavin, Bekisui, Tanina. Look, As far as being a mechaper is concerned, Mishnah Zvachim, we just learned it. As far as mitzvah of Kisui Adam is concerned, Mishnah Chulim, we just learned it. Now, Machshir, it's Terichlei. So the Gemara says, what about the idea of Machshir? Now, we know that in order for a food to become subject to Tumas Ochlin, the first thing the food needs to do is come into contact with a liquid. Now, there are seven liquids that will make it Mokshe L'Kabel Tumah. Now, two of those seven liquids are water and blood. So the truth of the matter is that we can even ask a more fundamental question. I have a mixture of water and blood. Who cares what it is? Call it water, it's a Machshir. Call it blood, it's a Machshir. They both can do it. So the Gemara is about to ask this very question. Yeah, so the Gemara is bothered exactly by this question. What difference does it make what it is? Call it blood, call it water. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the case would be like this. Maybe the case is where the blood gets mixed up with rainwater. Now, rainwater is still water. So what's the issue? So the Gemara points out that there is going to be a subtle halachic difference between rainwater and quote-unquote regular water. Yeah. So the Gemara phrases it as a question. Rainwater, you pick it up, you spritz it on your food, it's a machshir. So again, what's the difference? Lo tricha shenitmedu me aleihem. So the Gemara says like this, that the blood and the rain mixed on its own, you didn't put the mixture together. Now, the Rashi explains the Gemara here like this. Look, in the world of Machshirin, we have a halacha. We all are familiar with the halacha. It's like one of the only halachas in the world of Machshirin, but it has to be beratzon. Meaning you have to not just have the liquid there, but you have to want the liquid over there. Now, the Mishnah Machshirin, Rashi quotes the Mishnah Machshirin, says that even if it's tchilaso l'ratzon, meaning initially I wanted that liquid, and then afterwards, for whatever reason, I didn't want that liquid, that's still considered beratzon. Now, rainwater is not tchilaso beratzon. It's not tchilaso beratzon, meaning the rainwater just comes down.
No, but you intentionally wanted it to rain.
So if I, at any point after the rain comes down, say I want that rainwater, I want to wash my fruit in that rainwater, that successfully accomplishes the requirement of beratzon. But in the beginning, however, when the rain just comes down by itself, it's not beratzon. Just 1 second, let's just finish. So what the Gemara now is telling us is, it's important now to know whether it's water, whether it's blood. Because if I got blood that gets mixed up with this rainwater, specifically the rainwater that I had no intent over, but if enough blood falls in, that makes it now blood, so even though I had no machshava on the water, but if it's blood, and I did have machshava on the blood, so now it's a machshir. It's a real... Eventually, when you pick it up and you want to use it...
But even if you don't have the intention, but you go by your ratio, and rainwater becomes bitul in the blood itself, even if you didn't get into it, it's still considered blood.
Correct, but the point is that once it has a red hue, so it's going to have the din of blood. As rainwater...
That's machshir also.
Correct, but it's only it's subtle. In other words, the only issue now the Gemara is going to say is, when is it a machshir? As rainwater, it's only going to be a machshir later. But if it's blood, and the blood I already intended to use as some sort of cleansing agent or whatever, I wanted the blood, and the blood gets mixed up with this rainwater, it's a machshir now. Not later, but now. That's the only that's the only difference. Okay. Correct. The water got mixed up with the blood. Agreed. 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 Right. Again, this is all in the world of machshirin, to make something susceptible to tumah. Rav Asi from Naharvel, Amar Bitzlasa Dadama. Rav Asi from Naharvel says Tzlasa Dadama. Okay. Now I've got two cardiologists sitting to my right. Okay. Now, but blood. Blood is a composite.
Right, exactly.
Right. Right. The clear part of the blood, we're going to call that plasma?
Serum or plasma.
Serum or plasma. Okay. And the red part of the blood?
Red blood cells.
Red blood cells. Okay. So the Gemara says like this. B'tzilasa d'dama, look, you have, if we can segregate the blood from its white, from its clear part to its red part. So Rabbi Yirmiyah midifti armei nushkares. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says that the, that you will be chayev kares, meaning, sorry. Let me just go back. B'tzilasa d'dama, I'm sorry. I prefer if I went back again and just explain this a little bit better. Yeah, right. Exactly. Rashi says like this: Ba'osa ma'im shehem min adam. Right, water that comes from blood. Okay, well, we'll give it a more modern name, call it plasma. So atzman kishehi nikra sheyesh vivasav tzlul kamayim. Look, when you see coagulation of the blood, so you're going to see a little bit of the clear fluid, the plasma that's around it. V'im yesh bo mariz dam machshir. That's the point that Rav Yehuda Mashmo was making. That even though, right, in other words, it's interesting, meaning the plasma itself is not blood, meaning it's obviously part of the blood, but when we segregate the blood into the red and into the white by itself is not considered blood. It's only considered blood if it has a red hue, but only if it has a red hue. That's the point that Rav Yehuda Mashmul was making. Meaning, we were so perplexed. What's the chiddush of Rav Yehuda Mashmul? Blood is a machshir. Of course, we knew that. No, the chiddush is that if it's just plasma by itself, that's nothing. It has to be plasma with a red hue.
Red blood cells.
Right.
Because it's blood.
Correct.
That means there's blood in there. Red blood cells are the nefesh. It's actually the blood cells that are alive.
Correct. Right. Very good. Very good. There is differences, but in the case of this is we're talking about right now we're in the world of machshirin. Rabbi Yirmiyah midifti armanish karis. Now Rabbi Yirmiyah midifti says, look, we all know you're not allowed to eat blood, right? Gemara and Kris is coming up a little bit from now, but still Gemara and Kris is coming up. You're not allowed to eat blood. What if you eat plasma? Okay, a funny discussion we're having in the daf, but you understand it's a halachic concern. What if you just eat plasma? So Rav Yirmiyah says, and there's curries. Right. V'hu de'ika kezayis. However, you have to have a kezayis of dam gamur. Now,
but is it liquid? I said, why is it kezayis?
Because the sheer for, it's an achila. Meaning, I know it's a liquid, but I understood. Right. You want it to stay revius. Okay. Fair point. But it has to be... You have to have a kezias of the actual dam itself. So then, right, correct. So then you have to ask the question, so then what's the chiddush? Meaning if you're eating a kezias of dam together with the plasma, right, we need to, I did see Rabbi Kornfeld spoke about this. He attempted to give a couple of suggestions in terms of what the chiddush would be. Now, in a braisa, we have it like this. It's metame ba'ol, meaning plasma. Not blood, just plasma. It's metame ba'ol. Now, again, we know that human remains, if you have flesh, kezias of flesh, it gives off tuma. If you have the entire bone structure, it gives off tuma. If you have revius dam, that's also going to give off tuma. So now, it's metame ba'ol, v'hu dika revius. Now, but you still need, in other words, plasma by itself is good, but you still need revius dam. You still need a revius of blood, of the red blood. Tanan hasam. Right.
But then you don't drink the whole thing. You take the mixture, and in that mixture you don't have kezias.
It's just
originally there was so the mixture itself becomes.
Okay, I hear. Blood. I hear that. Tanan Hasan, we learned in the Mishnah over there. Kol mashka hames taharin chutz midamo. All the mashka hames, right? People juice. I know. all secretions of the human body. Are tahor, right? So Rashi says, we could be talking about tears. We could be talking about, milk, right? All secretions of the human body are, right, except for the blood, meaning the blood is going to be a source of tumah. Now, if you have a secretion that has a red hue to it, so that's blood. Umashka ames taharin. The Gemara says now again, not blood, because blood obviously is a source of tumah, but all other secretions of the human body, the tears, the milk, saliva. So all that's going to be tahor. Verena, the Gemara says, but I quote a Mishnah to you, and the Mishnah here, first Mishnah of the second parak of Tful Yom. This Mishnah seems to indicate otherwise. Mashke Tful Yom, secretions of a Tful Yom. Remember, Tful Yom is somebody who is Tamei Tovels in the mikvah, is waiting for Harav of Shemesh, waiting for the sun to set. He's right now a Sheni Latoma. So the Mishnah says, Mashke Tful Yom, Kemashin Shenogea Behem. So if you have secretions coming off of his body, right? Again, it's tears and milk, sweat. So ve'ele ve'ele matamim. Now, it doesn't give off tuma because, let's remember, a Tful Yom is a sheni. What happens? Correct. What happens when a Tful Yom touches chulin? Nothing. So what happens when the secretions of a Tful Yom touches chulin? Same thing, nothing. V'shar kol ha-tameim bein kalim bein chamurim ashken ha-yotameim kemashka ha-nogea behem ve'elu ve'elu tchila chutz min ha-mashka shuhu av ha-tuma. So the Mishnah Tful Yom says, secretions that come off of a source of tuma. Now the Mishnah is not clear what we're talking about. The Mishnah says, kalim and chamurim, light sources of tuma, heavy sources of tuma. Secretions that come off of these things are going to be a rishon. It's going to have a din of a mashka, of a liquid. We all know that liquids jump up to a rishon. If you don't fully understand what I'm saying, you'll just hear it again and again, and you may not understand, but you'll understand enough to know. Mashkas jump up to a rishon. Right, we follow. It's a position that we follow. And that's what the Mishnah Tful Yom says. But the Mishnah doesn't say what we're talking about. It says just simply kalin v'chamurin. My kalin and my chamurin, my love kalin sheretz v'zav v'chamurin mates. Now, presumably, chamur means the most strict source of tumah, which is a mace, which is human remains. If that's correct, so what's the Mishnah Tful Yom saying? That secretions that come off of a human body are tumah. Unlike what we said at the bottom of the previous amud. So lo kalin sheretz v'chamur and zav. So the Gemara says, no, I disagree. The Mishnah Tful Yom, we're going to interpret it to mean like this. Kalin is a reference to sheretz, secretions that come off the sheretz, and chamur is the secretion that comes off the zav. Now, Rashi, make sure that we understand. We're talking about a zav, right? Zav or a zava, right? A man who has a discharge, a woman who has a discharge, right? Right. A zav is not exactly sheikh v'zerab. Okay, fine. They're an avatuma. We're not talking about them themselves. We're talking about secretions from the body. Now, Rashi makes sure that we know that saliva that comes out of the mouth of a zav, that's an avatuma. That's a source. That's not in our discussion right now. And the same thing could be said about urine as well. It's an avatuma. That's not in our discussion. What is in our discussion is the tear ducts, the tears, I should say, the milk. Saliva is an av. Saliva is an avatuma. Okay, so we're talking about these types of secretions. Rashi gives us a way to differentiate between the two. Again, I don't want to get too derailed from just from the basic point of the Gemara. So, and the Gemara now wants to understand. It's really a strange phenomena, meaning that you have a mace, which is the highest form of tuma, right? It's you have no greater source of tuma than a mace. And all secretions, except for blood, right? Blood is a source of tuma, but all secretions that come off the mace don't give off any tuma whatsoever. Not min haTorah, not even min derabanan.
That's not a likely event either. It's not conscious that the mace is
Okay, good. But when it comes, you're basically, you know, you're touching the Gemara's answer. And when it comes to a zav, which is whose tameh, and it's a serious source of tuma, but not to the same degree as a mace, but when it comes to a zav, secretions that come off of his body, right? If it was a woman, his milk, her milk. If it was a man, his tears, right? Secretions that come out of the body are a source of tuma. Rishon, meaning, okay, not an avatuma, but still it's a rishon. The Gemara is going to ask the simple question. That seems to be a little counterintuitive. So the Gemara's answer is, first let me read the Gemara's question. Maishna zav de gazru bei rabbanun, umayishna mesa lo gazru bei rabbanan. Zav de lo bedili in shemine gazru bei rabbanan, mesa bedili in shemine lo gazru bei rabbanan. And the Gemara gives the obvious. When it comes to a mace, right, human nature is, right, leave it alone, right? It's not within human nature to go ahead and to handle a mace. We'll do it, but in other words, the human nature is, the Chachamim don't need to make a gzeira and say, oh, right, people in general already are going to withdraw from a mace. But when it comes to a Zav, right, he's amongst us, he's right, he's walking around, he's, okay. Damanitas v'shalasak and Tana Rabbanim v'kisam alami shadamanitas v'shalasak and chayev l'chasos. The Tana Kama says that you're obligated to cover the blood that's even on the knife. Am Rav Yehuda Emes Rav Bizman She'en Sham Dam Elohu Aval Yesh Sham Dam Shelohu Patim Lachasos. Rav Yehuda says, no, that's only if there wasn't blood that was already covered. But if there was blood from this animal that was covered, don't worry about the blood on the knife. There's no obligation to cover the blood on the knife. Tanya Idach, we learned in another Braisa. V'kisahu Melamed She'kol Damo Chayv Lachasos. The Tanakama of this Braisa says, you got to cover all the blood. Mikan Amru Damanitas V'Shal Agapim Chayv Lachasos. All blood needs to be covered. Amra Shimon Gamliel Bamedvar Mamorim Shelo Kisa Dama Nefesh. That's only if you didn't cover the Dama Nefesh. Aval Kisa Dama Nefesh Patum Lachasus. But you cover the Dama Nefesh, you're not obligated to cover the other bloods. We can basically say now there are three opinions. Opinion of the Chachamim of this Braisa is that you have to cover all the blood. Rav Yehuda says you have to cover just any of the blood. And then there seems to be a third opinion, which is Rav Shimon Gamliel, specifically Dama Nefesh. The blood that came out that which the life force came out. Correct. Right. So, but my kamifligi, the Gemara says, could you understand the machlokus? The Gemara says, yeah. Rabbanan savri damo. The Torah says damo, its blood. So we're going to have a classic discussion of what does the its blood mean, the possessive form. Damo, kol damo. Rabbi Yehuda savri damo, ve'afilu mixas damo. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Amar Damo HaMeyuchad, special blood, life blood. Okay, so it's really a three-way machlokas how to understand the word Damo. Halacha is any blood, although the
Rabbi Yehuda was actually explained
any amount.
In the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda was actually explained to Rabbanan. He wasn't disagreeing.
Correct. Meaning, right? Could be that the Mishnah, right? Could be that the Mishnah is not providing a two opinions. You could be right about that. But in the Braisa, however, clearly the Tanakhama of the Braisa clearly says that you have to cover all the blood. Okay? Talk about tomorrow, topic coming up for tomorrow. What's dirt? Right? I know, it's a funny question. But what's dirt? Meaning we know they have the mitzvah to cover. The Torah says, be'afar. Okay, so what is dirt? Agadata coming up tomorrow as well.